If you can turn in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I think it's up on the screen here. There's a page number about page 970. 970. And if you don't have a Bible, do just raise a hand. Someone will bring one to you. We've been in a series in powerful one-sentence prayers. You might remember right at the beginning of the year, we looked at our verse for the year, which was, the harvest is, yeah, there you go, the work is a few, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to raise up harvesters into his harvest field, to send out harvesters, workers into his harvest field. And you know, I want to encourage you, keep begging God to thrust out workers into this needy harvest field that we live in this nation and in the nations. And then the second week, do you remember Roberta was doing the pottery and I made a hash of it? Sometimes make a hash of things, you can tell. And we talked about that amazing prayer that often we need to keep praying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, that the tax collector prays. And then, do you remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Hannah's prayer, where she was pouring out her heart to God, and someone thought she was drunk, and it wasn't that she was drunk. It was the question we were looking at was, are we pouring out, are we drowning our troubles? Are we pouring them out to God? And we need to be those that call out to God and bring our troubles before him. And then last week, Graham Jefferson looked at blind Bartimaeus and his prayer, which was, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to see. And Graham so helpfully showed us how it was simple, and it was serious, and it was specific, and that our prayers, if they're to be effective, need to be like that as well. But now as we continue on in this series, I want to look at maybe some of the most famous sentences in prayer that are strung together in the Lord's Prayer, and they are powerful. Jesus taught us to pray these because God loves to hear these prayers. Many of you know them. You know them off by heart. But as I've been thinking about how we can grow in prayer as a church, I've been struck by even the prayers we know, we often don't pray. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read the whole of it. And I just want to ask you some questions as we get into this. So Matthew chapter 6 says, you're going to read it with me because I've not got it in my Bible here. Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, say it with me, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Just pause there. The Lord's Prayer is an amazing prayer. It reminds us, as Jesus teaches us, that we speak to a Father, a Heavenly Father, one whose name is hallowed, one who's great. We're to pray and ask for his kingdom to come, his will be done. These are like huge, vast prayers. Great prayers to pray. And then he kind of touches ground with some very earthy prayers. Very ordinary requests. Things Jesus tells us to ask God for. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Very, very simple, powerful requests. But here's the thing, I think we don't often pray them. And I'm thinking, why? Why don't we often pray these very simple prayers? And I think part of it is that actually in our mindset, in the world we live in, that we kind of think, well, actually, we don't need daily bread. We can get bread ourselves, so why do we need to pray that? And actually, you know, forgive us,
our trespasses? Well, we haven't done anything that bad, have we? You know, they're bad people, but that's not us, so we don't need to ask God for forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation. Well, a little bit of temptation is nice from time to time. Isn't it? That's what our world would like us to think. And deliver us from the evil one. Is there an evil one here in England? Britain? No, there's evil other places. North Korea. We don't need delivering from that here, do we? So I think sometimes we kind of think, well, this isn't really relevant, this stuff. It might have been relevant for those that Jesus was speaking to. And I want to say, this is a very, very relevant and powerful prayer. And over these next few weeks, we're going to unpack it line by line, just these simple requests. And we're going to use a great psalm to complement it. A psalm that I was reading early on, in fact, it was just towards the end of last year, beginning of this year. And as I was reflecting on it, I realized this is a great a great complement to the Lord's Prayer. It's got four pictures in this psalm. We're just going to look at one of them this morning. And we'll pick it up in Psalm 107. If you've got your Bible, can you read with me? And we'll look at verse 1. I'll read this time. How about that? Give thanks to the Lord, it says, for he is good. His love endures forever. That's the kind of stuff we often sing. You might wonder where the words from our songs come from. Come from psalms like this. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. And then this is the first picture that the psalm presents. It says this, some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Shall I just pray? God, we pray, meet with us now. Open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Please, God, I need your help. We need your help. We need a word from you for today. Amen. I want quite simply this morning to look at two things. The reasons why we don't ask, and then just simply reasons to ask. So first, reasons why we don't ask. And I want to start with this. I think one of the reasons we don't ask, as Jesus told us and encouraged us to, why we don't say, give us today our daily bread, is simply this. We are too individualistic in our mindset. We kind of read this and we look at it and we think it actually says, give me today my daily bread. And we then think, well, I've got my daily bread, so we don't bother praying it anymore. So I want to just do something, to turn to your neighbor and just to ask and discuss for a moment. And don't worry, it's not like there's one fixed right answer to this. So, but it's good to get us thinking, who is the us when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread? Who was he wanting you to kind of have in mind as he prayed that? Okay? Turn around. Twos or threes, fours, doesn't matter. Who's the us? Okay, anyone said family? Anyone said family? Okay, yeah. Family thinks probably good. Anyone said the disciples there at the time? Okay, yeah. Anyone said the church? Anyone said your neighbor? Anyone said the people on your streets? Anyone said the sort of the community or the town or the nation? Anyone said the nations, mankind? A lot of people just talking. Anyone said anything else? Did anyone say it was just me? No. Or just you? No. Because actually, we don't know who the us is. We don't know who Jesus exactly had in mind when he told his disciples to say, "Our Father, give us this day, lead us not into temptation." We don't know specifically who it is. I think that if you were to say, it would lean towards those for whom God is their Father, maybe those who are following Jesus. But you know, we read in the scriptures that God says he's the Father of all. That's why he has compassion on them. So who's the us? Well, the only thing that the us definitely can't be is me. And yet, I'll be honest, that's how I often see this prayer. I often think it's give me this day my daily bread. And so if I'm doing okay, I don't need to pray this prayer. And yet, folks, we live in a hungry world. We live in a hungry world. You know, right in our own, well, in our own church, I mean, you don't know who's hungry here this morning. You don't know on your street who are the people who are hungry. In fact, you may do, but you just maybe don't ignore it. You don't know the hungry people around in the city, but there are hungry people in Brighton and Hove. I guarantee you that, because I got a letter from one of the great organizations that we support and give to as a church, Brighton and Hove City Mission. And the guy who runs their Basics Bank said this week, which again, when I read it, didn't come as a surprise. He said, due to the high demand for help, the Basics Bank started opening 4 days a week for people to receive support in April 2012. In the past, we would have seen between 8 to 10 people a day over the 3 days. We are open. That's approximately 30 people a week. Now we're regularly seeing, on average, 14 per day, almost a 50% increase. I know Sean and Rich, you went and met with Merv just last weekend. Again, just that, Sean, you just asked the question, you know, when was the last time, even though we've supported Basics Bank for a long time as a church, when was the last time you brought something for the Basics Bank? You know, there are hungry people in our city, and there's probably food on your shelves. And maybe if we were praying, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Give us in this city, those who need it, their daily bread. We might think, oh, we're just going to church. Let's bring something from our shelves. And in your update this week, there's a little kind of Basics Bank shopping list, things that the Basics Bank could do with. And always there's a box right by the front door, and we'll make next week it more obvious. But folks, we sometimes do this at harvest time, but you know we can do it every week. I was even thinking for my kids, the age they are, this would be a great thing to do as a family as we come to church to just help them understand the needs in the world and the need for giving, is to say, hey, what can we take for the Basics Bank this morning? Each week, we could do that. We could do that. It would remind me, even as my giving goes through standing order through the bank, that actually every little bit counts. Because that tin of beans will be someone's food who is going hungry. And it might have cost me pennies. But you see, it makes a difference when people are hungry. Pennies make a difference. Beryl Buckle, these older folks, just absolute gems. One of them, now in glory, was Beryl Buckle. And she used to not have very much, but she used to make jam so she could sell it, so she could put pennies in the offering for those in need. And that's just in our city. Guys, you want to take it bigger than that? Think of our world. There's an initiative that's just been launched by charities and lobbying the government. Even David Cameron said he's behind it and for it. You know, it's an initiative called Enough for Everyone, IF. Enough for Everyone, IF. And Tear Fund, one of the organizations, again, that we give to as a church through your weekly giving, that goes, some of it, towards Tear Fund. A great organization. Here's a little video they put together about this campaign and about some of the needs around the world. Here we go. Let's have a watch this. About 2.5 minutes.
Every night, 1 in 8 people go to bed hungry. This year, over 2 million children will die from malnutrition. That's one child every 15 seconds. Children like Caesar. Caesar is 4. He has no parents. His sisters look after him. There are nights when he cries himself to sleep because of hunger. There is enough food in the world to feed everyone. No one needs to go to bed hungry. At Tear Fund, we know part of the answer to the injustice of hunger is the local church.
This week, we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us for His wisdom.
Projects like Foundations for Farming, run by a Tear Fund church partner in Zimbabwe, teaches people how to improve crop yields despite the changing climate. It teaches farming techniques that require less water than traditional methods, replacing uncertainty with plenty. But more than that, drawing on biblical principles, the training changes people's attitudes to themselves and their work.
At this moment, through Foundation for Farming, many people are now coming out of poverty. They have their own food. They are able even to feed their children.
Local churches are doing so much to stop hunger, but they can't do it alone. Action is needed at international levels to loose the chains of hunger injustice. We need your help to ask for international change, which combats the root causes of hunger. This year we have a unique opportunity. The UK is hosting the G8 Summit, an opportunity for us to bring about change for children like Caesar. So please, do your bit to change this today. Sign a campaign card and pray. Join your voice with thousands of others speaking out on behalf of those whose voice is not being heard. There is enough food for everyone, if we speak out together now.
There's enough food for everyone. And I love that video because it doesn't just say give, and it's great to give, and it doesn't just say campaign and speak out, and we need to do that. And I want to thank Trevor, who's offered to kind of help us just this year leading up to the G8, kind of coordinate some of our voice into that enough food for everyone if campaign. But, you know, I love it because the guys say, pray. Pray. Folks, it starts with prayer. Because God is the provider. God's the one who brings the food. God's the one who rises up governments and brings them down. God's the one who can do far more than any of us can. God's the one who, as we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We realize that in that us, there is a give me my daily bread and them their daily bread. And if God's already given me the daily bread I need and some, and they're short, what do you think might stir in me as I start to pray that? That I might be part of the answer to that prayer for my brother, for my sister, for my neighbor, for someone else. So I don't know, maybe you did pray the Lord's Prayer this morning. Maybe you did pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But I tell you what, as I've been preparing this, I've been praying that a whole lot more because I've realized we need to pray it. So we don't pray it. One of the reasons we don't pray, I think, is because we're too individualistic. And then I think because we're too self-confident. I think actually we have this kind of bravado that has grown up in us as we've been taught and educated and the Western Enlightenment. You know what? That mankind can do it. We can do it. You know, we can put bread on our table. We don't need to ask God. If I get a job, if I'm educated, if I work, I can put bread on my table for my family. You know, come on. Hey. Can you not do that? Well, we kind of think, well, I'm able. And we fail to realize that actually we're only able because we live in a place where there's not anarchy. We're only able because God provides rain for the crops to grow. We're only able because God's given you health and life and breath to go out and get a job. You're only able to get a job because the economy is still going and functioning and not gone into free fall. You know, all these things are way outside my control and your control. Actually, the one who's giving you your bread today for lunch is God. He is the one who provided that for you today, whether you've realized it or not. He is the one who's done it. He is the giver of all good gifts. And you know as well, our self-confidence makes us think we don't need so much from God. We don't need God to provide for us today because we kind of think, well, the things we think that daily bread implies, we can do that. But actually, I just want to pause and say, hang on a minute. I think what Jesus was talking about here was our daily provisions. Bread, you know, in that early world was basic staple for life. What you needed for life. And that this is a wonderful thing about Psalm 107 is it kind of brings out some wonderful things that are related there to bread. It says, verse 4, some wandered in the desert wastelands. This is Psalm 107. Do turn there and have it open in front of you if you can. Finding no way to settle, no city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. You know, it got this theme of kind of people who were lost. Homeless. Those who were hungry or thirsty or their lives ebbing away is a kind of picture of exhaustion. And I just want to bring those things out, that kind of lostness without a home or hungry or thirsty or exhausted. And whether it's physically or spiritually, those are basic needs. Those are basic needs we all have today. Basic needs for every one of us around you. So whether you broaden that out as well. And you know what's amazing is that those needs are needs the Bible picks up and speaks of time and time again. Even in the spiritual realm, to say your spiritual needs are as big, if not bigger, than your physical needs. So what's the thing that the Bible often compares to bread spiritually or food? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That we need a daily word from God. We need kind of, often the devotions have this, don't they? Word for today or daily bread or something like that. And you know it's true. You and I need to have spiritually a daily word. And yet we think we don't need it. We're too self-confident. We think actually we can go through today without needing a word from God. Or sometimes, I don't know if you find this a little wise, maybe sometimes we think we can get through on a cracker or a chip. So we do have a little word, but it's a little chicken nugget. And we're going to get through the whole day on that. I tell you what, the other week, I'd had my quiet time. Read a bit in the Old Testament, a bit in the New, a bit from the Psalms. I got something. But you know what? In the afternoon, God gave me a feast. And I realized how hungry I was. I realized I was hungry for something more. And you know, sometimes we're so busy or distracted or self-confident, we don't realize just how hungry we are spiritually. And God says, invite Him, ask Him, give us this day our daily bread, something that's going to nourish your souls. Heard of mum, I think Laura was asking her about boys and what they're like as they grow up and, you know, they're eating and, you know, we got little Jonah and she said her boys now at school, they have their breakfast and then at school, they're so busy during break time playing, you know, football out with the kids or lunchtime, they just rush out and do that. They don't even eat their packed lunch and they come home at 3:15 and they eat like 3 bowls of cereals, 2 bits of toast. I could relate to that when I was growing up thinking, yeah, that sounds familiar. But you know what? I think sometimes we're just so busy doing our stuff that we don't realize how hungry we are, how thirsty, maybe even how exhausted, spiritually and physically. So, you know, it doesn't matter. This amazing prayer Jesus offers us to pray, give us today our daily bread. You know, if you're lost, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're exhausted physically or spiritually, I think this prayer is for you. And maybe you've got those things, but your son or daughter's not had a word from God today. I think you can pray that prayer for them. Do they need a word from God today? Yeah. You know, your pastor, your small group leader. Hey, you can pray it and pray that they'd get a word from God today. They'd get that fresh manna. So folks, this is a great prayer to pray because we need it. And we're sometimes too self-confident to admit how much and how great is our need collectively. Our need is massive. There's a great preacher now in Glory, a guy called David Wilkinson. He had an amazing message called A Call to Anguish, where he said, you know, why don't we hear more about being anguished in the church? You know, I was thinking about the sermon I did on Hannah as I was hearing this again. And, you know, her crying out to God. And we live in such a pampered age sometimes, as he said, that we don't think that it's right to feel pain and deep sorrow and a sense of need so strongly. But you know, folks, this is kind of a begging prayer. Jesus invites us to say, give us today our daily bread. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, because His grace. When we call out to God and we get on our knees and we say, God, give us today our daily bread. We are utterly dependent on You. We need Your help. So reasons we don't ask, we're too individualistic, we're too self-confident. Reasons to ask abound, I think, but they can maybe be summed up in these two. Our need, we kind of talked about our need. We can't do it in our own strength. We're not as great as we think we are. You know, we're very small, very, very small in the big schemes of things. We need. And then the second reason, the one I want to dwell on now for a moment. Reasons to ask, not just our need, but because of our confidence in God. Our confidence in God. And maybe this is another reason which maybe you're here today and you're aware of a problem or aware of something you need God to provide for. But it's our confidence in God that causes us to pray. Our need might again cause us to wallow or in despair or might cause us to knock on the door of a neighbor or, you know, ask for help from someone else. But it's our confidence in God which leads us to pray, which leads us to look up to Him, to cry out to Him, to say, as Psalm 107 puts it so beautifully, it says this. Look back there with me, Psalm 107. They were hungry and thirsty, their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what happened then? Well, He delivered them from their distress. He heard them. He acted. He does that. And in fact, you're going to see in Psalm 107, look down in verse 13 for this next sort of word picture, which we're going to look at next week. Verse 13 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. Or look down with me at verse 19. What does it say in verse 19? Read it out. So in these different situations we're going to see, what's the common theme? They cry out to the Lord, and what does He do? He saves them. He delivers them. He hears them. Why does Jesus say, encourage us to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Why does He encourage us to do that? Because God is the giver of all good gifts. He's our Heavenly Father. He longs to give you your daily bread. In fact, He gives daily bread to millions who don't even ask Him. Such is His desire. In fact, all good gifts come from above, from the Father, from our Father, who loves to lavish His grace upon us. So Jesus tells in Luke 11, which is the kind of parallel passage to Matthew 6, this story of He says, do any of you have a father, or do any of you know a father who, if his son comes to him and asks for bread, will give him a stone? Any father's ever done that? Or if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Any of us ever done that as fathers? And then God says, and you're like, this is the way Jesus puts it, you're like evil fathers compared to God, that is. We're not actually that good. Jesus puts it quite starkly. If you then know you are evil, He says, now to do these things, how much more your Father in heaven? How much more your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask Him? And then he goes on to talk about the Spirit, and again, this amazing thing of God's Word and God's Spirit so often coming together. God loves to give. Folks, we can have confidence in God as we cry out to Him. Confidence because as we look at Psalm 107, look with me. I love this. Verse 8, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. We were singing, weren't we, earlier, of the unfailing love of God. It never gives up, never runs out, never gives up on me. That's the unfailing love of God. It will never let you down. Never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love of God. And He does wonderful deeds for men. It's what it thinks God loves to do. So we can have confidence in God. We can allow God to build our faith, to trust Him, to look out for Him, and to ask Him as He calls us and encourages us to. And this isn't just for bread. This isn't just for the physical stuff of life. This is for those many things that I was mentioning before. When we're lost, Jesus says, you know, He comes and speaks to the one who's lost. And what does Jesus say? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think we got this up here on the screen. And what does Jesus do when people are hungry? When he's fed the 5,000, He's given them the physical food. He's done that. He's able to do it. Jesus, with a word, He's able. He's God incarnate. Come. And then what does He do in John chapter 6? Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And then He says in John chapter 4 to the Samaritan woman, Jesus answered, whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become a well, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And for those who are exhausted, the other day I was exhausted and God gave me this word in the morning. Boy, was it a blessing word. And it was this word, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And then I was walking down the street reflecting on this verse. And I noticed that we've got two benches outside and that someone's put a plaque on them. And two plaques, in fact. And the first one I read, and it said, come to me, all you weary, heavy burden, I will give you rest. And I thought, wow, fantastic. And then I looked on the next bench and wondered what the verse was on that one. And it was, come unto me, all you weary, and I will give you rest. And I thought, praise God, Lord, I come. What do you need today? What do you need? And have you asked? Because you can ask. Because God knows your need. And He is able. It's a God confidence we can have. That's what faith is really. It's a confidence that God is able to hear us. So folks, here's what I would love for us as a church to be doing in these days. To be growing in prayer. Let's be a prayerful people. People who are actually saying, right, these prayers that I've known from childhood. I've known from the Bible. The simple prayer, give us today our daily bread. I'm going to pray that. I'm like really going to pray that. It doesn't have to be those words or that exact form, but I'm going to pray for daily bread, for myself, for others around, for our needs to be met, for our spiritual needs to be met. I'm going to pray that when I come on a Sunday morning before church. God, give me a word from you. I'm going to pray that as I start the day, Lord. I'm just going to be praying the prayer that Jesus told us to. Let's be a praying people. This coming Thursday night is our prayer night. We have such a special time. You know, the Lord's here. So I, to be honest, I sometimes don't mind at all who else is there because the Lord's there and it's just sweet, sweet time. But then I also have my moments of thinking, why weren't more people there? Do they not realize we get a chance to meet with God together? And it's like, it's just this wonderful, wonderful time. And I know some people can't be there for all kinds of different reasons. And that's fine. We're under the grace. We're not under the law. But you know, we're going to be meeting with Almighty God to bring our request to Him on Thursday night. And you're welcome. You are welcome. We're going to be praying into different needs around the world, some of what we've been speaking about today. This week's a big week. It's called Marriage Week, but it's also a week where the government are discussing, debating actually on Tuesday, issues of marriage. Be praying this week for God to overrule, for God to work in the lives of leaders and people to speak with integrity, and there to be a fear of God in our leaders. It is a week where, folks, the people around you, the nation, needs your prayers. So let's be a praying people. What about as we come into this time running up to Easter, commonly called Lent. Sometimes we don't make much of Lent, but this year I've been thinking we're looking at prayer. I've mentioned this before. We're going to have 40 days of prayer leading up to Lent. Again, it's not going to be a kind of onerous, let's all come together and try and meet at times. We've done some of that in the past. Sometimes that's good, but the burden on my heart is just to help mobilize and support each one of us to be praying, to put a tool in our hand. And Katie's been working on a little prayer kind of journal where you can just have a couple of points for prayer and space to sort of write some things down. Next week you get a chance to pick that up, because Lent begins middle of the following week. The next Sunday we'll give you this booklet, and then the following week on about Wednesday, that's when sort of Lent begins. We're actually going to make something of Pancake Day this year, because we want to make something of the prayer. We're going to make something of Pancake Day. We're going to have some pancakes around the Tuesday afternoon service and around the time when Hive finishes as well. So if you want to come and grab a pancake, if you haven't already got one of your books, come and grab a book as well for prayer. And next week as well, there'll be some books available about prayer. David, thanks so much for doing that. And, you know, let's just grow in prayer during this time, because God hears us when we pray. Let's be a praying people. And as we ask, I believe and I know that God will answer. And so let's be a thankful people. Turn back to Psalm 107 with me. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Jesus does that. Ultimately, he's leading us to a heavenly city where we can settle. He's saying, if you feel like you're not at home yet, he's saying, don't worry, I'm going to prepare a place for you in my house, Father's house of many rooms, he says. Don't worry, he's going to prepare a place for you. And then it says, verse 8, so let them, what does it say? Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Thank him for his unfailing love. Thank him for his general character. Thank him for his wonderful deeds for so many. And then, yes, let's get specific. Thank him, too, it says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Pray, ask, and then give thanks. Your Heavenly Father loves you. Loves me. He loves to see your face. He loves to hear your voice. He loves to meet your needs. If you will but stop and ask him, recognize you've got needs. Not be too self-confident or too individualistic to just limit them. But even right now, we're just going to pause, just encourage you to bow your heads. Right now in this moment, Jesus is here. Band's going to come up. Just in this quietness, why not just let that give us this day our daily bread, prayer. Let that be your prayer this morning. It's a simple prayer. Just a sentence, but it's powerful. As you pray, there might be related prayers that God gives you. Maybe you need strength. Maybe someone around you needs strength. Maybe you need saving. You just need salvation. You need the bread of life to quicken in your spirit, water of life. That's you. Jesus bids you come to him. Maybe you've been looking for all, searching around all kinds of things. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me with your burdens. I'll give you rest. Just going to sing together, you are my strength when I am weak. Come, Holy Spirit, as we sing.